Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. Third hour is on for this Wednesday, the 15th of April broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Rob Dew will be taking over the War Room this afternoon. Jay Dyer will be taking over for me and hosting the fourth hour here on The Alex Jones Show. We have a lot still to cover in this final hour, mostly American political stuff, including stuff like this. Abigail Spanberger signs law to circumvent electoral college for Virginia voters. So, Abigail Spanberger, the CIA agent radical leftist that just got elected as governor of Virginia, basically just gave up the right of Virginians to vote for president. This is, again, just completely insane. Governor Spanberger has signed a bill to circumvent the Electoral College and have Virginia become a member of a compact between states that are looking to give their Electoral College votes to the presidential candidate that wins the popular vote instead of the candidate that voters from the state choose. So if you're in Virginia and you vote in the presidential election, it won't actually affect where Virginia's delegates go. It will simply be added to the pile with the rest of America, and whoever wins the popular vote will win the electoral college votes for your state. I think she just robbed you of your vote, essentially. Again, this is just one of these things that the left just sort of does, and it utterly breaks our electoral system. You can't just unilaterally change the way that your state casts its electoral vote. Like, how is this permitted? I could understand how you could change it within the established structure of states vote via electoral college, but to basically say it doesn't matter what the people of our state vote, we are just going to give our electoral college to whoever everybody else wants. So, I mean, what's the population of Virginia? What's the population of, like, New York City? Because, essentially, your vote just isn't going to matter anymore. You can be outvoted by a bunch of recent arrivals in New York and L.A., and they just get to dictate who the president is. And all of Virginia will give their electoral college votes to support whoever the candidate is that major population centers in big cities far away from Virginia want. Abigail Spanberger represents the latest and extremely successful Democrat strategy of running somebody who says very normal things, who just, the meme is John Normalson. Hi, I'm John Normalson. I want to help families and lower prices. Then they get into office and it's like, I'm getting rid of voting and I'm letting rapists out on the street and I'm giving drugs to children. And it's just like, what the hell? This is the strategy they're pursuing. And they know that people will fall for it. Because, again, it's sad that we laid all of this out before she was even elected. But it's actually not that complicated. And you'll see it everywhere now. Everywhere you'll see. The Republicans will be running some token Republican where it's, and the meme that this comes from is there's like the guy on top who's like, I'm a gay Native American, but I'm Republican. What? And it's like, that's the Republican candidate. They're like, I'm an anchor baby, but I don't want women in men's sports, so vote for me. And then the Democrats, it's, hi, I'm John Normalson. Vote for me, and I will be a politician. And it's like, people are like, yeah, just vote for that guy. That guy seems reasonable. He seems fine. He's not some gimmick. It's not some dude nobody's ever heard of. He looks like a responsible guy. He's run some small business. Let's put him in charge. And then he rules like Chairman Mao. And then he gets into office, and they just shove through the most radical program you've ever seen in a way that makes their rule permanent, by the way. Like Abigail Spanberger, the way that she's changed some of the electoral processes already at the state level in Virginia, it's basically guaranteed Republicans will never get that state back. Because they play for keeps, because they play to win, because they don't actually care about the function of our government. They don't actually agree with or understand our founding principles. They don't have any genuine love for the Republican system and any of this. They actually want to destroy it and tear it down, and they're willing to do that. So, like, we're in a very interesting situation because the people that actually believe in the things the Constitution represents, the morals and values and foundational principles that were enshrined but not not created in, but simply embodied, enshrined, and elucidated in the Constitution, we are being destroyed and boxed out of power by people who have no scruples because they don't actually like the Constitution. They don't actually believe in the foundational principles. They don't actually like the founding stock of America. They want us all done away with. And if we don't fight fire with fire, if we don't do to them what they do to us, then we're abandoning the field. We will lose outright. So is it possible to violate our own convictions in the ultimate goal of reclaiming the metaphysical importance of the Constitution? Or do we stick to our principles knowing that we lose everything? I don't think that's, a crazy perspective to bring. And it's not just the all of this stuff, the letting criminals out for free and doing away with voting for president and just like all of this insane stuff. She also just signed a law ending the tax exemption status of the United Daughters of the Confederacy and other Confederate groups. So there is nothing extreme about honoring your heritage. There is absolutely nothing extreme about being the descendant of a Confederate. These groups were made by people who were alive while the Civil War was happening, yet somehow they were less hateful and scared of the Confederacy than people nowadays. The soldiers who literally fought and killed Confederate soldiers were less hateful and bigoted towards the South than Abigail Spanberger and people alive right now. If this was such a crazy thing, if this was a rebel group that, wanted to overthrow the country, and then they wouldn't have been allowed to create the groups in the first place. These groups were created at a time when the memory of the Civil War was alive in people's minds. It was fine then. Now it's an extremist group, the Daughters of the Confederacy. Literally a bunch of Southern stay-at-home moms who give presentations about their ancestors. Just like the Daughters of the American Revolution or any of these groups that operate. But they have simply decided by fiat, with no justification, they're extremist. They just said it. They didn't need to provide any justification. They didn't need to argue it. They just, by fiat, by dictate, Confederate groups are now extremist groups. They are now illegal. They will not get tax-exempt status. We will bankrupt them completely. Now, Vince Dow responds to this on X, saying this is a notable precedent. You can apparently just ban nonprofit groups that you label extremist. Republicans should take notes. Every communist organization in the United States should be shut down. The No Kings protest will evaporate overnight. Let Democrats find out. Couple problems with this. One, Republicans will never do this. They'll never do it, even though they should. But this is the problem. We actually are it's wrong just to say that a group is an extremist and, take away their tax-exempt status. They shouldn't do that. Okay, but they did. They are. They're doing it. They just did it. You can wag your finger at them, but those groups are going to not exist anymore. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Now, the irony is, the thing that makes this less than just unequal is that the Confederate, the Daughters of the Confederacy, not radical by any stretch of the imagination, not extremist by any such stretch of the imagination. They don't even have political. It's literally just a history and heritage group who meet to read old letters. Like, it's crazy. They're not extremist by any stretch of the imagination. Meanwhile, you've got communist groups running around firebombing places and bragging about it online, you know, making extremist posters that they're putting up, kill all white people, like insane stuff. So the Republicans would actually be justified. The Republicans could actually look at the communist groups operating right now on American soil and say, these people are an existential threat to our country. They're dangerous, they're terroristic, they're violent, and they have a stated purpose of overthrowing our entire country and driving us into chaos so that they can rule over the ashes. We actually have a good reason to go after these groups, but we won't. The Democrats are going after the Confederate group because they simply have destroyed any other system, you know, any other group that upholds American values has already been destroyed. So now they're just going after like whatever remnants are left and just destroying those systematically. Would it be against the Constitution? Would it be in violation of my conservative principles to say we should not allow these communist groups to operate? This is the way our system works. It's supposed to be precedent setting and then matching that precedent. Okay, you want to ban the Daughters of the Confederacy because you just don't like their ancestors? Then we can do that too. I don't understand why we won't. When it comes to the question of anti-Semitism, if we're going to ban a style of thought, if we're going to ban a topic of discussion, what if we banned Judaism? What if we banned the practice of Judaism? What if we banned any celebration of the state of Israel? What if we banned that religion outright? Would that be more or less of a violation than banning criticism of that religion? I'd see it about the same. I think if you're going to do one, I don't see what the moral outrage would be at doing the other. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Is this the type of Pandora's box you want to open up? Because that's exactly what's happening. So I could go on forever about the violation of American principles, that banning a historical heritage group because you work for the CIA. Like, obviously that's wrong. Obviously that shouldn't be done. But it is happening. This is the world we live in. These groups are now going to have to move headquarters or go bankrupt. So that's just the rules we need to play by. It's, I don't know, I don't find it all that complicated. And it would actually possibly be one minor consideration for the Democrats when they start thinking, should we destroy something? Should we do something to the conservatives? What if in their mind they had to think, gosh, if we do that, they'll do it to us? That's the way precedent is supposed to work. Yeah, I've been around since the 1800s. That's why this is supposed to work. It's supposed to be every time they think, hey, I bet we could ban the Daughters of the Confederacy, they should think, yeah, but then the Republicans are going to come back and ban all of our groups, and we really like our groups, so maybe let's let them have their groups so we can have ours. Instead, they're like, let's ban the Daughters of the Confederacy, and then the Republicans will huff and puff and do nothing, and then we'll ban the Daughters of the Revolution. Okay, and then Republicans will be mad, and they'll be outraged, and then we'll ban, you know, whatever other organization, and eventually they'll ban all the organizations that even try to uphold the values that we originally held. And so suddenly it won't even be against our American values to ban groups that we don't like, because all of the groups that remind us that we once had free speech will all have been systematically eliminated. I think that might be part of the process going on here. And so as we look at like everything across the board, the frustration I experience with all of this is just like, if Republicans simply stood for what they say they stand for, or fought the Democrats with the same intensity they fought for Israel, this wouldn't be an issue. None of this would be a problem. And again, this is the frustration. I'm not just bringing it up because I'm obsessed with Israel, obsessed with Iran. This is the best example of why the Republicans' inability to do anything to combat the Democrats is a choice. It's an absolute choice. Because when it comes to something that Israel wants, we're not concerned about precedent setting. We're not concerned about violating the laws or the spirit of the Constitution. We just do it. And so I would like the Republicans to just do that for us. How about, and again, this is the craziest thing. For like decades, we're complaining and yelling about the vicious anti-white hatred that came out of universities, out of the official universities, not just like random people at universities, university students with bad ideas. The universities themselves had courses about eliminating and abolishing whiteness. The school newspaper writes articles saying your DNA is an abomination. White people, your DNA is poison and you should be eradicated. That was coming from the official organs of the universities themselves. For decades, we're complaining about this, yelling about this, expressing concern about this. Nothing gets done. And if you could even get them to acknowledge it, even get them to address the concern, you'd inevitably be hit with some excuse about, well, what are we supposed to do? They're universities. We have free speech and we believe in free speech. And there's just, we might not like it, but hey, the best way to fight bad speech is with good speech. You get out there and make your own arguments. You're like, okay, well, white people are nice. And they're like, that's illegal. Shut it down. You're not allowed to say that. Okay, great. But there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do about the universities being viciously, openly anti-white. Because it's free speech. What are we supposed to do? Until October 7th happened. Until you had students on universities protesting against Israel. In which case, all of a sudden, we figured out what we can do. All of a sudden, it wasn't an impossible task. It wasn't a violation of free speech. It wasn't against our principles or just too complicated of a thing to handle. It was, okay, well, we're taking away their endowment until they fire the people we don't like. Oh, gee, you could have just done that at any point, huh? So it's not that you're like this principled, we will not violate our belief in free speech, regardless of how it makes us feel. No, you're willing to do it. You can do it. You have the capability, the levers of power. You do it when it's Israel. You just don't do it when it's us. If Abigail Spanberger banned AIPAC as an extremist group, you bet your ass they would be down her throat and impeaching her and destroying all of Virginia. Like, it would just be insanity across the board. She gets rid of the Confederacy, and it's crickets. Nobody says anything. No Republican decides to fight back, and certainly not treat them in kind by banning their actual extremist, actual seditious, actual foreign-funded communist groups. So, just like everything, it's like, do I need to explain this to you? I don't know. Am I some sort of genius? Because this all seems very obvious to me. When a woman lights her father on fire, don't let her out on the street. Do I need to write a paper? I mean, I didn't even go to school. Maybe I'd be smarter if I went to school. Maybe I'd understand why we can't just throw criminals in prison or do to the Democrats what they do to us or use governmental power to benefit us and not other people. I'm too stupid to understand. I'm too low IQ to comprehend the sophisticated operation of the government that says the Constitution can only be wielded against the Americans, never for their benefit. The Constitution will prevent you from deporting a single illegal alien, but somehow the Constitution is nowhere to be seen when they're opening the gates and flooding our country with tens of millions. This doesn't make any sense. So if it's our self-imposed adherence to normal functions that aren't normal anymore, that don't exist anymore, then we need to give that up and we just need to fight fire with fire. Doesn't mean I don't believe in what the Constitution says. It means that I want to get back to a country that can actually embody those values. Right now, we are run by and infested by an infinite number of con men and foreigners and CIA agents who do not believe in the Constitution and are systematically destroying not just the strictures of the Constitution and the restrictions on the government that the Constitution lays out, but destroying like the groups that believe in the Constitution and the people that uphold the Constitution and the history that says why our Constitution is special and unique. It's all being destroyed and deliberately replaced with a false narrative designed to demonize the very freedoms the Constitution enshrines. Again, not complicated, not difficult to understand. Why have white people been demonized by our culture for the last several decades, because you can associate white people with the history of white nations. The history of white nations is the history of the Constitution, the creating incrementally the freedoms that we enjoy and were enshrined in our founding documents. If you can demonize the people, you demonize the ideas. If you can demonize the ideas about individualism and representative politics and the point of the government being for the benefit of the people, because we hold these truths to be self-evident, if they can destroy that, then they can enslave you and you have nothing to appeal to, because what you would appeal to is what, the Nazis, i.e. the white people? Oh, so you're like a white supremacist. Oh, so you believe in the Constitution, so you think that like black people should be slaves and that like Jewish people should be in gas chambers? Because that's what the history of white people is, right? So you demonize the people, you demonize the ideas, you get the world to accept willing slavery by convincing them that freedom and individual responsibility is somehow reflective of a white supremacy, which has been determined to be the only and greatest evil that exists. Really the only evil that exists. I mean, we'll see. I'll get into it in the next one. Not a lot's off the table these days. Hell, apparently you can kill children. That's righteous. As long as you're doing it for Israel, you can promote pedophilia. That's super cool. Most popular, you know, show in the country these days. The only sin that will exist in the future is the sin of being white or supporting traditionally white ideas, ideas that came out of Europe and England, free speech, individuality, trial by a jury of your peers whose purpose is seeking justice, not racial animus. These things are going away. They're being deliberately destroyed. Abigail Spanberger is the method by which they're doing it. Having a seemingly normal, average person run as a Democrat who just wants what's best for your family and then getting into power and ruthlessly doing everything they possibly can, regardless of precedent, regardless of what we would normally have, which would be governors who actually believe in free speech and understand the principles of our government. No, they actually are deliberately destroying them, and the Republicans refuse to fight back. We refuse to do anything to stop this onslaught. We refuse to defend ourselves or attack the Democrats. And so we're losing. It's not complicated. It's not hard to figure out. It's very simple.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.